is University Forum. I'm Gene Moore, bringing you conversations with outstanding personalities on issues of interest to local, national, and international communities. We continue today with our very interesting guest, Mr. Robert Seeley, a descendant of the Garrett family, and we're going to talk about the Underground Railroad and the Garrett family. We're going to continue that conversation that we started during our last program. Welcome back for us to continue this.
Nice to be here again, Gene.
Well, I tell you, you've talked about so many different things and such an era that's of interest, not only locally, but nationally and internationally today when we think about the kinds of things that happened during the era that really went back to, what, the early 1800s?
Yes, the early 1800s and actually before 1800, when the Underground Railroad did start. In fact, Thomas's father was involved also in the Underground Railroad.
Well, let's recap for those who may not have heard the first part to say a little bit about the Underground Railroad and who Thomas Garrett actually was, because there are a couple of Thomas Garretts, right?
Oh, yes. There are many, and people get them confused. And in fact, Thomas Garrett had a brother who died very young, and so actually he had a brother, Thomas, also. Thomas was born in Upper Darby, Pennsylvania. He had a vision in 1813, from God, that he would be part of a network called the Underground Railroad and put an end to slavery. And in about 1822, he moves down to Wilmington and he becomes what is called the station master on the Underground Railroad. But it wasn't just about Thomas, it was about many, many people in a network on the Underground Railroad. And we talked about my family connections with his brothers up in Upper Darby and his son Eli, and he had a son Henry, and then right over the line in the state of Pennsylvania, right near Longwood Gardens today, stands Longwood Progressive Meeting. And that's where the Mendenhalls lived, and that was Rachel's family over there. And out in Westchester, in Chester County area, you had the Price family. So it was a network of family members and friends.
And you're how many generations removed, or actually not removed, because you're never removed?
I'm not removed. Some people want to remove me, but I'm not removed. Six generations, I'd say. That's a educated guess.
Six generations, what? So you have a grandfather, great-great-great-grandfather, something like that.
Something like that.
But you've definitely been staying very close to the family in terms of all that's been going on to keep the history alive.
Yes, and I've talked to many family members over doing my research and sharing my research at Swarthmore and at College and Haverford College and historical societies on the Underground Railroad and the family.
You did a genealogy search of the family.
Yes.
And have intertwined a lot of the readings and writings and speaking to include the work of William Still, right? now, William Still, what was his place in this whole history?
Well, to the Garrett family, William Still was a hero in the Underground Railroad because he saved the history of the Underground Railroad. He connected people that came north. He wrote the names and places and where they're from and was able to connect with other family members. But then he saved that, and he saved the notes in a crypt in an African-American cemetery. He saved his research and was able to write a book on the Underground Railroad, first book.
And he was an African American.
Oh, absolutely.
This is one conversation where it's kind of important to distinguish or identify the racial background of some of the people who were involved. Notwithstanding, I know how you are in terms of
yes.
The race does not, you don't even see this.
I'm colorblind.
I understand that. Now, what are some of the stories that you didn't get to get into last week when we had the first show that you might want to share? You started talking about one where there was a dressing up of someone. Say that again and indicate who was this person who was given this way of dressing differently.
There's a young African-American who was in Thomas's house, and Thomas's house is always under surveillance because they knew he was bold. He didn't hide. And they always had a watch over at Thomas's house. And this young African-American was in the house, and they were trying to figure out, how can we get her to safety? How can we get her north? So Rachel, Thomas's second wife, his first wife was Mary Sharpless, but Rachel takes her up to the bedroom, her bedroom, and gives her her dress and her bonnet and a veil and some gloves, comes downstairs, and she grabs Thomas's arm, and they walk to the carriage.
Of course, she had the veil. That was the one thing I
didn't
know.
The veil, yes. And of course, they thought it was Rachel. I can just see Thomas smiling and tipping his cap and saying to himself, I did it again.
Yeah. Now, another story or any correspondence that you have that you might want to share.
Well, you know, there was a letter, and Thomas and William Still corresponded on a regular basis. And I have a letter here that I would like to read to you, Jean.
Oh, please do.
Now, this is dated the 11th month, the 29th day in the year of 1858. This is, by the way, on deposit in the Historical Society of Pennsylvania. It's in Philadelphia. It says, esteemed friend William Still. Now, he might say esteemed friend or dear friend, but in this case, it's esteemed friend William Still. Yesterday a week, a colored woman and seven children were taken to my brother Edward's in Upper Darby. I heard she was anxious to get to her brother's at Mount Holly, New Jersey. Or, rather, I heard she was anxious to get him to Woodbury. Which is correct, I cannot tell, but I think most likely you have seen her. I can tell where they are. A colored man came just come up from Dover in the cars. Now, they spell that C-A-R-R, and that means a train, and says the colored woman's master came up on the same cars. So you know what the master's after him. The man says to the master, heard she was going to her brother's in Mount Holly. He had a colored man taken up at Dover and suspicious of having aided them. Is it very important that they should be got out of the way so she cannot be taken? She may be the means of having several other colored persons convicted that assisted her. So other people, her sister, are going to get in trouble. And these are the letters that two people who care to be about each other wrote on a daily basis. Some of them are tough to read because they're not in print, and they're in cursive, so they're hard to read sometimes. But there are many letters and this is one that was actually saved by William Still.
What's so interesting and so frightening in a way is making that trip up and not knowing whether or not you're going to be found on that train or that whichever way she was coming, the car.
Yes, yes. Well, you know, a lot of times Thomas would send a person with the slave or give that slave a letter of introduction and give him a letter and say, now go to the Mendenhall's house and give him directions to it. And you're going through a post and through the gate and just beyond whatever is the Mendenhall house. So those are usually a letter of introduction or like a Harry Craig also would go with some slaves and take them to the next station.
Mm-hmm. Were there any incidents where they were found or identified on the way up that you know of where it didn't end up in a happy trip?
Well, I don't remember the names, but in Westchester, there was a young lady who was on trial. Sometimes the law was also involved as abolitionists, and you know. So anyway, supposedly the judge took a break, and in that break time, they went in and smuggled her out of Westchester into a safe haven. You know, there are cases where people have been caught and taken south. I think for the most part, the Underground Railroad was very successful. Mm. Not in all cases, though.
Mm. It's a very difficult trip to go through when you think about it.
Well, you either make the trip by cars, as they call them, or train. You could do it by riverboat, like a ferry. A lot of times in wagons, they'll put in wagons and straw was put over them. And there are all different means of transportation on the Underground Railroad.
Now, you, Bob Seeley, you've gotten very, very much involved in this. But this is not your whole life?
No, I would like it to be, but I do have to earn a living.
And you do that by?
I teach at Delaware County Community College, and I teach landscape design and identification of trees and shrubs. So I'm what is called an ornamental horticulturalist.
And you're a graduate of Pennsylvania State University.
Yes, I am. Mm-hmm. Own my own landscape business, owned it for about 25 years.
And somehow, that's interesting, identifying with the land and the gardening and all the rest of that kind of thing. It tells us something about you.
Well, you know, that's how the family started. They were farmers, and I thought I continued tradition.
Well, why is it important to continue not only the tradition of the work of your the horticultural work and all of that, but to the other parts of the family tradition?
Well, you know, slavery can be here today, too, in many forms. And people can be slaves to alcohol or drugs and other forms. So as slavery ended, in the South it ended, but there's addictions today. We had to fight for different causes. We still fight, whether it could be mental health. And our family fought for mental health for years. So there are different causes, and our family has stepped up to the plate for the causes of freedom.
Freedom, yeah. You're listening to University Forum. We're halfway through this second program, and we're going to be joined in the second part of this show with Dr. Anthony Waske, who is an assistant professor at Temple University in the College of Liberal Arts. And I think, Dr. Waske, I want to welcome you to University Forum to join us.
Thank you very much, Jane.
And your identification in liberal arts is with what other sections of the school?
Well, I'm teaching in the foreign language department, and my specialty is German, but I'm also a member of and co-director of the Civil War and Emancipation Studies Forum of the Center for Humanities at Temple, which is a newly formed society to explore the history of the 19th century in all aspects, interdisciplinary. And I have been very interested in, and been a historian of the Civil War era, particularly Philadelphia's role in the Civil War.
Which is why I think our good friend Bob Seeley asked that you come along and join in this program.
I was very happy.
Talking. We're glad that you're here.
The invitation, and, thank you.
Yeah, and I thank Bob Seeley for bringing him along with you.
We've been talking on the phone and on the computer. The computer is a wonderful thing, and we've been sending each other pictures and emails. And, of course, I was on the program last year and talked about the Sellers family and the Garrett family. So we know each other.
Okay. By the time this program is aired, you will have completed a conference. Is that right,
Dr. Waske? That is correct.
Want to talk about that a little bit? What that was like or what goes on in those conferences?
Be glad to.
I know we've preempted we're going past the date of the conference, but talk about it anyhow.
Understood. Thank you for the opportunity. Yes, 3 years ago, an attempt was made primarily by my very dear friend and colleague, Dr. Anadolu Okur, whom Bob has already mentioned, who's a faculty member, professor in the African-American Studies Department, who is a specialist on the history of the Underground Railroad. And she put together a conference on Black history of the Civil War and the Underground Railroad. Well, I was invited to speak because I had researched, written, and lectured on a very, very famous hero of the Civil War in the Black community, Octavius V. Caddo, Valentine Caddo. And he is a fascinating—I mean, we could do another program just on him alone. He's just a fascinating character of the period. And he has inspired me to do research and find out about his role and what he did for African-Americans in that period during the Civil War and also afterwards when he strove for the equal rights. He was a member of the Equal Rights society that was formed during the war, spoke out for the 13th, 14th, and 15th Amendments, for example, to the Constitution. So I was invited to speak, and we met, that is Dr. Okur and I, and we had such a good time that we decided we would collaborate the next year on another conference. And so I was co-director along with her for that conference, which we entitled Flight for Freedom, Fight for Freedom. And again, it focused on the Civil War era, that is in the entire era of the Civil War, and African-American history and their involvement and participation in their own freedom. And so we planned on a third year. This was their third attempt. And this time we formed a partnership with the Center for the Humanities at Temple, and we made our acquaintance with a very distinguished scholar here and professor at Temple, Elizabeth Varon, in the history department, who has written extensively on the Civil War era. And she joined us, and we formed this partnership that then resulted in the foundation of the Civil War and Emancipation Studies Forum. And we have, therefore, joined together to organize this third annual conference, the Underground Railroad Black History of the Civil War Era, entitled The City of Brotherly Love at War, Philadelphia's Contribution to Freedom, again, focusing on the Underground Railroad and the efforts by blacks at the period to free themselves, both through flight to the North in the Underground Railroad period, the fugitive slave period, and during the Civil War when they took up arms to free themselves. And so we have a wide array of speakers and experts and scholars whom we have invited here. They were happy to come to Temple and to share their expertise. Many have authored books and studies, and they are going to, they have chosen a wide variety of different subjects to speak on. In fact, two of the speakers are actually writing a book on Octavius Caddo, and I think perhaps I had a small role in inspiring them to do that because they did cite me in their initial work. Murray Dubin and Dan Biddle of the Philadelphia Inquirer, their book on Caddo is going to be entitled Octavius Caddo and the Battle for Civil Rights in the North in the 1860s, and they are going to, and by this time will have spoken on that subject. And we have Fergus Bordewich, who is a noted scholar, and Chris Densmore, who's already been mentioned, and Judith Giesberg from Villanova, and James McGowan, who has been mentioned, and David Orr of our own university here, doing the archaeological and anthropological research into Camp William Penn, which was the large Civil War Army training camp where 11,000 black troops were trained for service during the Civil War and acquitted themselves so well on the battlefield.
Let me just interrupt you for a moment.
Certainly.
The conference that you had last year was not our other guest.
Oh,
Bob Seeley, what did you talk about at the conference last year?
Well, the preservation of historical places, Sellers Hall in 69th Street part of Upper Darby. We're concerned about the conditions of Sellers Hall, and we were trying to preserve it at that particular point. And Dr. Cure was on that. We called it our committee, the Friends of Sellers Hall. And it's a long process, but we think it's worth the cause. And so I was invited down last year to speak, and I was very happy to speak at the conference.
So you got to know another thing that's happening around Temple University, dealing with this very important era. Dr. Waskey, where do you see the relationship with some of the families like the one that Bob Seeley represents in this program today? Is there any linkage now that's being extended to some of the families like the Garrett family as the work
yes,
that you're doing?
Yes, I can answer that unequivocally by saying yes, indeed. This is a major movement, the understanding of this era and the role that black Americans, African Americans played of themselves in their own freedom is extremely important. And, of course, the immense help and assistance they had with sympathetic whites, such as the Quakers and others. And, of course, Philadelphia was a hub for abolitionism, and we can rattle off the names of many of the Lucretia Mott and Passmore Williamson and on that did materially assist in that. And the stories are contained in their lives, and they're so important to preserve. It's not just the general overarching overview of the period that's important and that should be known and should be taught, but also the individuals and what risks they took and to what lengths they went to assist in voluntarily, without any recompense, into freeing these poor people coming from out of slavery into freedom and passing them on their way to eventual freedom in the North or Canada or wherever they would end up or remaining in the area here, has to be told. And through Thomas Garrett and through Thomas Mitchell and others, Christopher Densmore is going to be speaking about him.
And Robert Purvis.
Robert Purvis. Margaret Bacon, of course, was
going to. Well, let's talk a little bit about Margaret Bacon, by the way, and the Pennsylvania Abolition Society. A little bit about that. You know Margaret Bacon, then, do you not, Bob? A chance to meet her?
Just a little bit. I hope to meet her in the next couple of weeks.
Okay. I have to make sure of that.
Yes.
Yeah. But all of these different people and names, and some of whom still are living today, and certainly we have with Bob Seeley, actually, I don't know whether to call him a descendant or just the living, breathing Garrett family right here because of all that he represents. I have to tell you a little bit that when I first met Bob at that picnic at Carrie Isaacs' house, we were around the hot dog.
The barbecue, and I was trying to light it.
Trying to light the barbecue on that. Yeah, it was just kind of nice. We just got to talking, and it was so clear. We were at a house, and I've known this for many years. I've been in and out of that house. And you say that's called Fairfield, is it?
Thornfield. Thornfield. Yes. Yes.
That's called Thornfield. I never knew it was called Thornfield, but there is a marker on the outside of that building identifying it as Thomas Garrett. And there have been times early on where we thought that house was going to just go. But Carrie would never let that happen.
Carrie would never let that happen. Yeah. I agree with you. And on the sign, it says 2,700 slaves on that sign outside Carrie's house. And it's amazing how she kept the house and the staircase. And when I walked in that house, I saw a clock on the mantle. And I have a picture of the house right after 1900. And there's a clock. It just looks like Carrie's clock right on there. And I wonder if it is. And I showed the picture to Carrie, and Carrie says, "Geez, this looks like the picture today."
Mm.
So that's how she's preserved the house.
I have to run up there again and go look at that clock. Because we're all very close. Because, you see, many of the people who were involved with the Quakers there were a part of the fair housing movement.
Yes.
In which areas like Upper Darby, which had up until really a couple of decades ago, were reluctant to allow people who were not white to move into areas there. So that it is good to hear what started in a very different way and then which went through certain transitions and a little bit of a retrenchment, if you will, and now to see that we now have an area that is open to people who are looking for, quote, freedom, if you will, in parts of Upper Darby who come from many different countries.
Yes. You know? There's always causes to fight for, and that's a very good cause to fight for. It should be that way.
Mm-hmm. Well, Dr. Waske, where do you see things going at Temple in relationship to this from your studies? Or where do you think, what's the goal or the mission of that group and the that you were just talking about?
Well, I'm very excited, and I'm speaking for my colleagues who could not be here for various reasons, probably because they're teaching and I'm not today. Elizabeth Varon, of course, and Dr. Oker, our very dear friend. And with the foundation of the founding of this new Civil War and Emancipation Studies Center, and coupled with all the various historical activities that are happening in Philadelphia to promote the important, critical, and pivotal role of Philadelphia in the Civil War, such as the new Civil War and Underground Railroad Museum, such as the Civil War Consortium of Philadelphia, and many, many other groups that are trying to preserve the history of that era, not just the war itself, but the entire era that generated the war and then the struggle for civil rights afterwards and, of course, the memorial period afterwards. I think we at Temple are going to make a difference in educating the public, the citizenry, about their own past. And we all know how important it is not to forget the past so as not to repeat it. And therefore, I'm very happy and pleased that I have a small role in all of this, and we will continue this. In fact, we already are beginning to plan our fourth annual conference for 2007, and Margaret Bacon, whom we've already mentioned, has already kindly accepted our invitation to speak to us about her work. By that time, her book on Robert Purvis, which will be the definitive biography of Purvis, will have been published, and we will be able to experience from the first person all the exciting things that she can say about him and what a crucial role he performed in the Underground Railroad and helping to free his own people.
And how fortunate that you've gotten the chance to know and become friends with Bob Seeley.
Indeed. And we have been exchanging emails and messages, and I'm very, very happy to see him again and was happy that he spoke in our second conference on the preservation of Underground Railroad and Black History sites and gave him the opportunity to project his plans and visions and dreams for the future. And we certainly share in those and support it very much. Bob, thank you so much.
And thank you, Andy.
Keep up the good work with your first person impression.
Well, thank you.
I do the same thing with General Meade, our great Victor of Gettysburg here from Philadelphia.
Bob Seeley, what would you like to see happen as far as the work that you're doing? I know you want to see that preservation of that one area, but generally speaking, what do you want to see happen around all of that history and reality of what the Garrett family has been and what you are, because you are indeed a Garrett.
Education is the key to anything, and to spread the word about the Underground Railroad, spread the word about freedom, and we discuss other causes that we have today. So educating other people about, you know, I had mentioned about a history when I went to school, and the Underground Railroad wasn't talked about. We talked about fair housing and other causes to fight for. Mental health is a very important issue today, and to get the proper health for people who have medical conditions. So there's a lot of causes to fight for. And Quakers or Methodists or whatever denomination you are, a lot of us join together as one, no matter what your denomination is, and fight for a cause.
Yeah, and we cross now not only the denominations in the Protestant and in the Catholic, but across the many different groups, and how much more important now it is in an international era to be able to understand, to accept, and to share alliances with different faiths.
Yes.
How important that is.
Absolutely.
Indeed. Well, I want to thank all of you, both of you, for being here. And, of course, Bob Seeley, my now good friend.
My dear friend, Gene. My dear friend, Andy.
Thank you so much, Dr. Waskey and Mr. Seeley.
I was pleased and happy to be here. Thank you.
Thank you for being my guest on University Forum. I'm Gene Moore. Please send your comments or questions on University Forum programs to me by email, jemoore@temple.edu. Or call my voicemail, 215-204-4376.